lay on. And that's where I discovered this young lady. She was 17 years old, and she sang, and I said, would you be the soloist for the Joe Foss Crusades? And she said, is that a promise? There were no Joe Foss Crusades, but she's been with us ever since. And Kimberly, what a blessing. What a blessing. Now she has a few children, six. Bless the Lord. Good morning, everyone. We're celebrating today, Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you to vote. Heard a pastor yesterday said someone told him it looks like God's already voted. He voted early. We've got a storm hitting the East Coast, and then last night they announced that a 7-point-something earthquake had hit British Columbia and that a possible tsunami hitting the West Coast. Our nation is in need of help. Our country is in trouble. We went to the prayer gathering yesterday, America's Turning Point at Green Acres Baptist. Several of our people here joined us there, along with several hundred, I believe, of other people that had come across there to pray for our country. So we ask you to pray. I want to just kind of have a birthday party for the church this morning. I want to kind of share, since some of us were there when it was birthed. It was birthed before October the 7th. It was birthed at least a couple of years before that, when we began to ask ourselves if we as a group of people should do something locally and not just globally, that we should do something locally. And we began to pray and to look. And on October the 7th, 1990, 35 people gathered at a building down there on the place there. I'll show it to you in a minute. And we were sent out. I want to tell you, you know, she talked about the rock, the foundation. This church was built on a solid rock foundation. It did not start by some church split, a bunch of rebellious people running off to start something on their own. It didn't do that. It was in the hearts of people that began to say, as I drive down Gentry Parkway, I see houses that need doors knocked on, that there's people behind those doors that need hope and help. There's people that we're not reaching. We were all going to Lindell First Assembly, and we went to the pastor, and we said, God has put in our hearts to go to Tyler and start an inner-city church, and we'd like for you to pray over us. And they called us up that Sunday and prayed over us and sent us out as church planters to go and do something in Tyler. We were able to find that location, and we rented it and moved in. And next one, I believe, is, well, wait a minute. Okay, we're going to do something else. Here's where we are now. Does anybody know that? Age 22? Okay. My son Andy Foss was youth pastor of a church in Longview, and he called and said, I think God wants me to come help you. Bill Cook said he wasn't here the first day, but kind of like people that moved to Texas later, they got here as quick as they could. They came and they said, the Cook family wants to be part of this. Jackie McFadden, she was here earlier. She had to go to work. But she had a wreck right there by that building. And we went and over there to see the wreck. And she came in and we ministered to her. And she and her daughter began to come to the church. Randy, were you there? Did you know the 35 people we realized had not been doing anything the Sunday before but going to church? But we had everything we needed. We had a pastoral team. We started with a team. We still have a team. We had people there that could lead worship, children's ministry, youth ministry. Randy played the bass, I believe, to start with. And we were all there. And as we began on that little building, it had a glass front. And we thought that was interesting. People could... We'd seen too many churches that nobody knew what it was because it was all, you know, windows closed and everything. But that, here we are. That it was something there that we were able to people see in, see what's going on. You know, used to churches didn't have air conditioning and people heard the gospel whether they wanted to or not because the windows were open and the preachers were there and We used to call it Pentecostal croup. They yell, no microphones. They just yell so much. They talk like this, you know. And we put signs up on the window that said hope and help. And I want to tell you, we still have hope and help. And the help that is there is a help, not just pop top cans to help people if they're hungry. We do that. We have a pantry. But the help, did you notice the people at the altar already this morning asking God for help? And our help is Jesus. It is Jesus that is there. And we are just thankful for the Lord. This is Brother, go back one. This is Brother Willard and I opening the door for the first time. And we rented that place for, yeah, we're both still the same. I told him this morning, I said, but the problem is that our eyes are 22 years older too. And so we think we look the same anyway. But there we are, opening it up and going in for the very first time. But we then began Friday night beans and rice meal. Does that sound familiar? And we would have that, and then we'd hit the streets and go down Irwin Street to the cottages and apartments, wherever things were there, that we would reach out to people. This morning, I want to talk to you about three things here. We want to commemorate the past, and we can celebrate what God has done in the past, but we want to consecrate the present, and we want to construct the future. This morning, it's a time of thanksgiving. First of all, I want to say thank you, Jesus. You see, put that other sign back up. We said we don't know what all we're doing, but we want it to be Jesus. We don't want it to be some personality-driven gathering. We don't want it to be an event gathering. We want it to be Jesus. So before we put up any other sign, the sign was Hope Christian Fellowship down on the bottom. We said, there is hope, Jesus, hay esperanza. We even had bought a house across the street for some of our guys to live in. And Randy was there. They said they could look out their window and see Jesus. And so I want to say thank you, Jesus, for 22 years. To God be the glory. And I want to say thank you, those 35 people that were there, and some of them are here, and all of those that came along after that. And in any local church, whatever you see on a Sunday morning is not the history of the church. What you see on a Sunday morning is who's there that day. But there has been people that have come through that later were called into ministry, later were called into missionary work, that have gone forth from there. People that maybe aren't doing so good now, but they'll never forget hope. They'll never forget that time that they were loved by that magnet that was there. The scripture says in Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And so I want you just to say, thank you, Lord. This may be your first time here this morning, but you can say, thank you, Lord, for producing a group of people that could take hope. You know, what I hear all the time is it's the church is different. It's unique. It's something that I've never been part of before. It's a place where I feel accepted. I feel that God is calling me to be part of that. It says, be thankful unto him. And bless his name, for the Lord is good. Would you say that? His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So we are in another generation of this church, but his truth is there. And so to the faithful ones that have become part of that back then and right now in the congregation this morning, as a member of the pastoral team, I want to say thank you. You're a faithful group of people, and I want to say thank you. Scripture I have for you is in Hebrews 6, verses 10 through 12. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you've worked for him and how you've shown your love to him by caring for other believers, as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. It says God has not forgot your faithfulness, and that you may feel at times you're forgotten, but you're not. God has not forgot your faithfulness. It's a time to remember, and we want to go back to that list of slides. I want to just kind of go through that for a minute. This was the building that we had rented for $600 a month. We didn't have the money, but I had just gone on a preaching time up in Iowa and Nebraska, and they gave me an offering for $600. And so we came back, and I said, here it is. And so that's how we started. It was a thrift store, and we had a problem there at first finding a place. And one of my sons walked in to this and found out the man used to be in my dad's church years ago. He was a little boy in the Sunday school. And he said, well, I'll rent it to you for less. And we got it for $600 a month. And so that was our place. And we put up this sign. And then we went in and began to clean it up and pray over it and began to have that time. And then we moved to this place here, the Tyler Activity Center. It's over on the loop near Irwin Street, near the new Walmart, and now it's a medical facility. But we rented this place, the Activity Center. It was larger, Hope Christian Fellowship sign on the front, but it was a club on Saturday night and a church on Sunday morning. So we had to carry everything in, all of our sound equipment, everything, and we had to mop up the beer on the floor before we could have church. But we were there until God opened another door, and we were here for several years at the Castle, Hope Christian Fellowship. Actually, the Lord led Brother Gary Holly to me and said, Joe, I like what we're doing overseas, but what needs to be done in Tyler? He knew I'd been with Teen Challenge, and he was is raised up through Teen Challenge. And I said, well, there's a building downtown that's closed up. And I found out who owned it. And Willard and Gary and I walked in there for the first time. And finally, they said that they would let us use it for a youth center and if we start doing some remodeling. And so it's a long story. Now, after we left this, well, our brother, Hispanic brother, came and had the Restoration Church there now, and they own the building, and they're still using the basement now for youth. So this was our place until Jerry Williams began to drive by this place and pray over it and stretch his hand over it. And when we first looked, it was way too expensive to even think about. And then my niece, the real estate agent, said, well, they've dropped the price. And then they kept dropping it because I kept saying less, less, less. And so we were able in 2004 to purchase what we have now. And so next slide, please. Here's what we found. We found this building there. Looked kind of like a funeral home. And we came inside and we found this here. Right over here was a wet bar. I don't know what that is, but a lot of you do. And then this was a dance floor. All around that area was the dance floor, and they were dancing here this morning. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. So this was a balcony and so on. This was the former Tara House restaurant years ago. And so we went back here where this place is now. You guys, wave back, I'm back there. Wave at me. Okay. All right. That was the bar. And Charlotte said, we'll cast out a few demons. She took that bottle and poured it down the commode. And so, and then, I don't know if you recognize that, but keep your news this morning. It's got that famous picture of that sign that was out front that we, by faith, we took it down. And Philip Dillon and I signed some notes, and we had a down payment that God graciously gave us. And then last year, we burnt the note. We paid it out. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So 22 years on the rock. What is that rock? Our identity was to be an expression of God's heart in our generation. We set that out. It's on the church website right now. To be an expression of God's heart to our generation. Our purpose. He has called us to express His heart. We're to be a body of believers who are learning what God feels in His heart. And then to live out in the context of that to our generation, to the now, the 2012. Can you believe that? Almost 13. We want to feel what God feels. We want to see what God sees. We want to be broken over things that break His heart. You see, we do have a broken-hearted God. We get so confused at times because we think that that means that God's love, anything goes. Well, God does love us with a unconditional love. Otherwise, you would have never got saved because he loved you just as you were. But you see, He demands change. And God's love and God's pleasure are two different things. And so we are called to know that God is a heartbroken God. He doesn't feel good about the abortions and the rapes and the same-sex marriages. He doesn't feel good about that. He's brokenhearted every day. But the other side of that is we have an ability to bless the Lord, to bring joy to His heart as His children, as His believers, through our ongoing activities. Can you ever be perfect? Well, maybe not, but you can certainly want to be. We can be perfect in motive for sure. He called this church to bring people into a genuine relationship with Christ. You will notice that we don't just say, come and say a sinner's prayer. In fact, I don't want people to come because of some emotional appeal. I don't want to try to reward them into heaven or scare them out of hell. I want people to think and know and be convicted by the Holy Spirit and have a genuine born-again relationship with Jesus. We're not talking about numbers. We're not just trying to get dry sinners in the baptism and wet sinners come out. We're not trying to do that. We want people to have a genuine relationship with Jesus. This is expressed in our primary purposes as a church. We want to be a church. Finally, we changed the name and we put church on it. Fellowship was good in the 90s, but we felt like that we wanted to let people know it was no longer a bar or a restaurant. It was a church. And that it's built on the foundation of loving and caring relationships. We want to give hope and help the poor, the lost, the sick, and the oppressed, the least, the lost, the lonely, the lowly, the little ones. And God has called us to do that. What you witnessed this morning in Shalex's testimony, I don't need to preach, she could have done it right there, is that that through our Dream Center concept, it's always been there, it's just kind of renamed, and that it's there. We want to make disciples and release those disciples into servant ministry as laborers in the harvest field that is there. When our people go door to door and they go out to adopt a block, they see what God sees. They were satisfied with a Saturday morning at home, but then they see that there's people out there. And I've found that for the last 42 years I've been working with troubled people. Unbelievable lives that the darkness that they're in. He's called us to be a community of believers. That means that the word fellowship is still there, and that that it's not just preaching or getting preached at. It is the fellowship, the fact that we're a community of believers. We're a family, and that's what people need in these times. They need that security of having those hugs and having those people that they feel a part of. And that way, I think even the fact that it might have looked like a funeral home, but now it even looks inviting because it's like home. And the first sign we put up was Home of Hope, that we would be able to give people that feeling that, oh, I don't know if I can go into a church or not, but they can certainly come in and have a cup of coffee. Brother Jerry puts out a sign, free prayer and free coffee. And so it's a place, it's a community of believers. We're a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. You may wonder why we call brother and sister around here. That's a song. I won't sing it. We are living in relationships of encouragement and service to each other. We're not an isolated individual drifting through life, but we're members of each other. Living expression of the body of Christ. Those relationships are defined with relationships. And they're not defined by race or by economics or by any other barrier. We have been called, even as the United States that used to have a draft, we've been all called into the army. And it's all of us. It's every culture. It's every race. It's every situation. We're called to be a church. We're a church engaging in spiritual warfare. We're in battle for the souls of mankind. And it's going to take this intercession continually on Wednesday nights and other times of reaching out and breaking that. We talked out this morning. We started out with Break the Chains. One of our young ladies wrote that song. To break the chains, that chains in people's lives so that they can be relieved from their past. And that place, that battle for their souls. The devil is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. I got that in there. But God has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And we're to view every member as an integral part of the army of God. Every person here today is very significant to God. And God has a special calling, a special place, a special gift for you. I could not dance like Angela did, but she's got a gift. Did you see that? Or the rest of that team? Kayla, all of those up there this morning. What a blessing. But everyone has a gift that can be used in the kingdom of God. You've got to discover your place in the army of God and function strategically in this war against the darkness that's prevailing and invading our world. He's called us to be a safe place for the hurting and the broken, a place where that they can find refuge. Y'all like that word? Where they can be refuge. We're to be a hospital for sick souls. We're to be a refuge for those that need in the Old Testament, well, they could run to that place and they would be safe. It was a place. It was cities of refuge that they were able to be there. The sick and the needy, a place where the mercy of God and the grace of God is overflowing to meet the need. As these wounds are healed and these lives are restored, then the number increases. Had a missionary visit Calvary Commission a few years back, a conference when it was in a little bitty room there, just a few people that God had brought together. And he said, "Joe, where did you get these beautiful young people?" And I said, "At the state prison." We were there Thursday night at East Ham, which used to be called a house of pain. We had five couples there, really. We had five couples. We had Patrick and Cindy, Joe and Charlotte. We had Randall and Rhonda. We had Paul Simmons and that gift of God wife that God gave him there. And we had another couple, Cynthia and Jesus. A man walked up to me. He walked up to me and he said, "Joe, I'll come up for parole in 17 years. And I said, "We'll be there." Now, Brother Sluter, may God give me a long life, because 17 years is 17 more years than now. But we go out to see these lives changed, these wounds healed, these lives restored. And you see, that's where the army comes from. It comes, Jason, right off that adopter block, just like Shalexis came in there today and gave that wonderful testimony. Finally, he's called us to be a place of hope. Your past does not equal your future. Your past is over. God has a plan. He has a new life. No matter what your circumstances are or how impossible your problems seem, there is hope. Would you say that? Why? Because God cares and he is here to help you. So we're to commemorate the past. Thank you, Lord, for it. But to consecrate the present. May we never leave the values that we started with, like many people in our country has done. Heard a message this week and was talking about compromise. And then he said something that says compromise compounds. Now, if you're an investor, you like that word compound, compound interest. But think about it. When you just start compromising a little bit, then it adds on, and then it multiplies, and it's an exponential growth of more and more compromise. But we can have a future in Jesus. There is hope. Why? Because God cares, and He cares about you, and He is here to help you. Every person that comes through those doors, we want to see them get better. We're going to put up another sign that says, dreams are built here. We build dreams here. We build dreams here. That people's lives get better because they're consecrating the present. They're at the altars. They're growing in the Lord. They're developing their lives. They're finding their place in the body of Christ. You see, the refiner's fire is what we need, and that's what consecrates. Psalm 66, verse 8 through 12. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of His praise be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You see, this journey that we're in, it's for some, it's been difficult. There's been disappointments. There's been pain. There's been heartaches. There's been years in prison. There's been scars of sin. Laid affliction on our backs. You've caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Hallelujah. King James says to a wealthy place. The New Living Translation says, let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing His praises. Our lives are in His hands, amen, and He keeps our feet from stumbling. You've tested us, O God. You've purified us like silver. You've captured us in your net and laid the burden of slavery on our backs. Then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. Hallelujah. We celebrate what God has done. Why has it worked for 22 years? Jesus. Because we put up the sign, because of the rock, because of love and acceptance and forgiveness, because of commitment that people have made to the new people that have come in, the new people have made a commitment to the Lord, because of faithfulness, and because of the Word of God that's been preached. The problems with our world are violations of the principles of God's Word. The victories and the changes in people's lives are because of the Word of God that has been there. Because of the Holy Spirit. May we never quench the Holy Spirit. May we never resist the Holy Spirit. May we never grieve away the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit work in any church. I don't mind being called Pentecostal because that means Holy Spirit at work. And so we are a people that are following and leading of the Holy Spirit. What is our part in this? Our part is to continue to develop these relationships with each other. We need to know each other and to form those relationships because people need a community, a family of God. We need trust, trusting in the Lord and trusting in one another. If we're going to be movers and shakers and risk takers, then we have to trust. When my son Milton was building a work there in the communist country, just next door was the former leader of the communist world for that block. And the pastor that was there said to him, said, well, with you along, we can share the risk, which means share the criticism. And he felt stronger having someone beside him. And you see, we can trust. You have to have someone that you can trust. And when we are able to trust because people are faithful to God and they're faithful. And, you know, let me just tell you this. Confidentiality is a very important thing if you're going to develop trust. Consistency. 22 years, we've kept doing the same thing. We've kept doing it. businessman told me one time during a very difficult financial problem I was having at the time in business, he said, Joe, if you'll just keep picking up one foot, there'll always be a place to put it down. You see, consistency as we have kept on, and we want to continue that. Another reason that we've been here and it's worked for 22 years is because of benevolent authority. We have not had dictators. We've not had authority that was in it for themselves, but people that were united together. And I tell you, our leadership team is in unity. And we have not had the church problems that many people have because it's a benevolent authority. It's an authority that is there. I was in Croatia, and our missionary there, Elvin Dudley, was talking about the former dictator of Yugoslavia. He said his name was Tito, but he was a benevolent dictator. He really wanted to help the people. And, you know, at least that's what he thought. Well, you see, we have a benevolent authority that God has raised up, that we're here for you, not for ourselves. Everybody at Calvary Commission could probably, all of our leaders could be making lots of money somewhere else, but we've chosen not to. We've had the opportunities, but we've chosen not to because we want to serve the people that are there. So our present structure has worked for 22 years. Now, constructing the future. Brother Sluder preached in the first of the year on increase. And I believe that God wants to increase. 3, verses 6 and 8. I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Nobody gets credit for the increase. It's God that gets the increase. So then neither is he who plants anything or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So it's God that gives the increase, and we thank the Lord for that. He gets the credit. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Constructing the future. What is the future? Well, Matthew 9, verse 37, and he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Another place Jesus said, let us go to the next town. And I think that's what Adopt-A-Block said. Well, we're going to not forsake Club Lake, but let's go to Moore Street. But you realize there needs to be many Adopt-A-Blocks across this city. And I believe what we're doing can affect other people, that they will also, other churches. I believe that our future is that Church of Living Hope can send out laborers into the harvest field. Now listen to this. I believe this is in my heart. We can plant other churches. Maybe local, maybe other towns in Texas, maybe global. What God is doing here, we can send people out. We don't want anyone to feel that they don't have an opportunity for a future and for growth, that we would be able to take what God is doing and go into that harvest field. It says that pray for the send out laborers. I was at a very difficult time in ministry, and I went to Leon overnight, and the brother got up the next morning, and he spoke on this very scripture right here, send out laborers. And those three words, they just grabbed my heart, and I began to weep with the knowing that God had spoken something. I said, okay, God, you send them in. We'll train them and send them out. And that's what we've been trying to do ever since, is to train people and send them out. And this church has that same opportunity to go out. So what are we going to do with what we've heard this morning? First of all, we started out with that gate of thanksgiving, and we want to end this morning with a gate of thanksgiving, and we want to have a time of personal reflection. Are you able to commemorate the past where God has brought you from? If you're here this morning and you've never been born again, then that can begin right here today. That can begin right here today, that your past doesn't have to be your future, and you can start over. What Shalexis said was that she got born again, And that God says, I'm not through with you yet. She stayed longer.
But we are to look at where God has brought us from and to say thank you.
And we're to celebrate what he's done. But we're to consecrate today because we cannot live on past accomplishments. We've got to say, you know, high school reunions are good for one night, but you can't stay there. We have to move on. We have to consecrate our lives today, and we have to construct the future and say, Lord, now, what are you going to do with me? You can make a decision to get baptized in water, but surrender comes when you kind of go limp and let the pastor put you under. Surrender. Are you ready to surrender today and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, it's your future. It's your future that we're bringing about. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Debbie wants to share something in her heart this morning.
Thank you. Hi, church family. I just wanted to share something that I shared with Joe and Charlotte yesterday when they were at the hospital room of my sister yesterday. Thank you for being such wonderful prayer warriors. I know they've been praying for me since I was 15 years old, and they've done so much in my life, but I just wanted to share, and I apologize to the women that were with me at the conference last weekend, because they already know what I'm about to say, but Thursday night, I spent the night at Carla and Jason's, because we were leaving for a women's retreat the next morning, and about 1:15, I was woken up in the middle of the night, and God said, Africa, to me. And I was like, Africa? Really, God? Whatever, you know? And I'm thinking, okay. So about 3:30 that night, I was woke up again with Africa. So I said, Africa? You know, I'm thinking, why Africa? So anyways, that morning, six of us ladies went to the conference. We held hands and prayed, and several of us prayed about, God, if she's supposed to go to Africa, just reveal it to her. Well, over the weekend, I had 4 confirmations. So I know, I don't know when or what's going to happen, but I know God told me I'm going to Africa. And thank you. Last year, God blessed me with a wonderful job. I work at Mercy Ships, and they have a hospital ship in Africa. And he's really blessed me this last year. I've really surrendered to him, and I've been really hardcore about the whole thing, but when I really surrendered to him, he really started showing me what he wants to do in my life. So I would like, you know, my church family to pray about this. Before you go on the ship, you have to take a three-week class that doesn't happen until January. So we've got lots of time to pray. I have no idea how to do support letters or anything like that. So if you can pray with me, I would really appreciate it because I know where God wants me to go, and I'm willing to go.
We're gonna pray right now. Robert, Tim, pray over her right now. Randy, let's.
Lord God, thank you for the call, Lord, of your heart upon her life. Lord God, thank you for her willingness to lay it all at your feet and surrender, Lord God, and do what you've called her to do, Lord God, regardless of what that is. Father, so we lift up Debbie before you, Lord God. Lord, we not only pray, Lord God, you